Felt like just going up there and joining them. I was wondering, would you have gone up with me, Ted? Amen. I'm glad I didn't. I had to do a little toe tapping with that song. I did not do any knocking on wood, though, but I did some toe tapping. Good morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian? Enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Enjoy sweet fellowship amongst God's people. And I am thankful for the Lord's goodness and His mercy. Congratulations should go out to Brother David and his wife Grace, being grandparents, and for that blessing that came to them this week, as well as to the rest of the family. We give thanks to the Lord. And we're waiting on Abby here, as she should soon be to be delivered. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 91? I have to admit something. I preached three times at the men's retreat this weekend, and I averaged the length of the message was 21 minutes. So I can actually get the points across even more quickly than I'm already doing. And so, but no, my desire is not to be fast. My desire is to give you truth from God's word that will sustain you and to help you as a Christian. And I really, it's kind of interesting with this message, and some listening to it today will feel like, man, you just preached that for me. But no, I decided about a week ago, I was planning on starting a new series of messages to start in a new building. And I decided before it had anything to do with the building, I thought, you know, the following week it's going to be the first responders, and I'll be preaching on something different then. And the following week it's going to be the creation conference. And I just began to pray over, you know, Lord, you've really dealt with my heart on some Psalms recently. And I considered Psalm 71. I considered Psalm 92, and then I considered Psalm 91, and that is where the Lord directed my heart to preach this morning. When you look at this psalm, we really don't know who the writer is. We really don't know the background of why the psalm was written, and we really don't know the time period. Can't really identify any of those things. Some would guess it to be Moses, because he wrote Psalm 90, but that's not necessarily a good reasoning for it, because the Psalms were ordered later and not necessarily by who was writing them. So that's not necessarily a Psalm of Moses, though he did write Psalm 90, and many things are in contrast to Psalm 90. He could have. It could have been David. Many would believe David wrote this, and they try to, again, to identify a particular time period. And I really like doing that when you can, because it makes the more truth to come out of the psalm when you know what was going on in the psalmist's life when he wrote it. That's only true of us. If we say something and we realize the time period in which it was said, it might have a greater impact because of when it was said. But again, what I really like about this is, since we're not in a specific period of time and all, it really gives me the ability to see how it fits in my life and how it could be applied to my life. In fact, by the words used here, and I'm really talking about the pronouns, we're going to see that the writer was involved here. We're going to see that the Lord was involved here. But we're also going to see that the listener or the reader is involved here. And that's where we make it appropriate for our own lives. Now, when I looked at what I believed ought to be the theme for this psalm, again, I'm reading, rereading that psalm over and over again, I came to this conclusion that really the theme of this psalm is the personal security provided to all those that choose to trust in the Lord. And so today, preaching from Psalm 91, I want to preach a message entitled, Choosing to Dwell and Trust God for Protection. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what a wonderful truth that we were given access into the Holy of Holies, the holiest of all. And it came through the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That veil was rent in twain. You giving access, you rent it from the top to the bottom. And now we as your children, the new creatures in Christ, are told to come boldly to the... I don't think any priest ever went in boldly. I think they went in a little bit fearful. This was so unique. If there was any sin in their lives, they could be struck dead. But for us as believers, we are encouraged to enter boldly into the throne of grace and mercy to find help in time of need. And so, Father, we come to you in the name of Christ, and then to look at this psalm. This psalm, I believe, that has truths that can help every one of us for the week to come, even though we don't know what's going to take place. Oh, we have some idea. We're expecting some things. We're hoping for some things. But in reality, only you know exactly what's going to happen. And so, Father, guide us through this psalm to gain truths that will help us for living the Christian life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, my preaching, my philosophy is I'm going to spend the majority of all my preaching to Christians. And there'll be those unique opportunities, for instance, when we have the first responders and possibly a Sunday at the beginning of the new series, that I'm going to focus a message that is really heavy on salvation. But because the Bible teaches that they gave pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, so that they can do the work of the ministry and so that they can edify the body of Christ, the majority of my preaching is going to be to help you as a Christian to identify truths from God's Word that can help you to grow and change, to become more like Christ, to help you to get a greater burden for reaching the unsaved of this community, and also help you to become more effective in helping one another to grow and change. So as I preach with that in mind, I don't want to overlook the fact that some may be listening, no doubt someone is, that really isn't sure that they're already a child of God. And I want to just reiterate to you, the truth from God's Word and God's Word alone is that none of us can earn our way into heaven. None of us can do enough works of righteousness that would satisfy God. In fact, Isaiah 53 said, only God could be satisfied by the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for our sins. He was wounded for our sins. He was bruised for our transgressions. Chastisement of his peace was upon him. And with his stripes we So, dear friend, if you're not sure that you're a Christian, you're not sure that there was ever that time when you trusted in Christ and received the forgiveness of sins and entered into an eternal relationship with God, we would love to share with you from God's Word how you can know for sure whether or not you're a Christian. Once you become a Christian, though, we enter into this unique relationship. And the psalmist here is going to encourage all of us to choose to dwell with God. Now, if we would go into the New Testament, we could go to John chapter 15 and look at the abiding and continuing and remaining. And I really believe it has a different emphasis and a different thought there in John 15 than it does Psalm 91. I believe in John 15 it's a reference to that ongoing obedience with the Lord, as we get into his word, as we hear preaching, when we continue in obedience, what we're going to see, that we're going to bear more fruit, we're going to glorify God more, we're going to see more answers to prayer, and we are going to be a greater witness and testimony that the love of Christ is in us, and others can see Jesus Christ in our lives. But when you get over to Psalm 91, it's also encouraging us to continue to remain, to abide, to dwell. But I believe the reason that the dwelling is going on here is for the protection or for the security of the Christian. And as we go through this psalm in part, I don't have time to go through it all, but as we go through this psalm in part, we're going to find that some of the trials that come into our life are because of people. People treat us like an enemy. They wouldn't necessarily even call us an enemy, but they do enemy things toward us, and they attack us verbally. They suppress us by their own spirit and attitude. And so sometimes it's true even in marriages. Sometimes it's true in family relationships. Sometimes it's true in work relationships. So he says some of the trials come because you're being mistreated by others. Others' trials come because of what is called in this passage, noisome pestilence. It's the idea of disease or something that is affecting you physically. So the Bible has an answer for us as Christians when we go through either one of those two scenarios. We go through a deep trial, and it's that choosing to dwell with God. With that in mind, let's look beginning in verse number one. Now notice it begins with he. Let's just start really simple. So this isn't talking about anybody in particular. I'm glad it's not just talking about preachers. I'm glad it's not just talking about missionaries or Sunday school teachers or people that have been saved 15 years or more. The Bible just puts it out there. Anyone that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Mighty. So he, whoever it is, whosoever he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall continue under the shadow of the Almighty. That is just a great verse of Scripture. In fact, the next verse, it goes on, the psalmist, whoever he is, gives a personal testimony to what it's like in his life, because he starts with, I will say of the Lord, this is my testimony, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. I want you to notice a personal aspect here that comes out in the first verse here. Again, he that dwelleth, and it has the idea that anyone that chooses to dwell or remain close to the Lord. I'm going to talk to you about what I believe it meant when the psalmist was writing it and what it would mean for you and for me today as a Christian. So for a Christian here, for a person in the Old Testament, those that would dwell in the secret place, you say, what is the secret place? Well, read Psalm 18, talks about being a dark place, a place of solace. You read other places, it's a place where God is. And so I don't believe it necessarily had an address to it. I think a secret place was any place that you would get alone with God. You talk about he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And what is he saying there? Whoever gets close to God and just stays there is, while he's there, under the watchful protection of who God is, in part because he's the Most High, meaning he has all authority, and he is the Almighty, meaning he is all powerful. He sounds like he's an inspector. As we were here the other day, and there's an inspector going around and looking at the building. He appears to be like he thinks he has all the authority to do whatever he wants and all the power to do whatever he wants. And I apologize if you're related to him, okay? I really do apologize if you're related to him. Because as he walks around this building, he walks around like he's on a different level than you. Don't even talk to him. And he's going to go through this building and just kind of nitpick and whatever he wants to nitpick. I'll tell you what, there is one person that has all authority. There's one person that has all power, and that's God. And if I want protection, then I need to get close to God. And I need to get under that shadow of the Almighty. I can't imagine what it's like to continually have God watching over and protecting. In fact, the psalmist says, here's my testimony. I'm going to describe it like I'm at a refuge. I'm within a fortress. This is my God. I can trust in him. Now, the beauty of this really drops down to what I call the Red Cross verse. And I don't call it the Red Cross because of the association. But somehow I've just adopted over the years. It's all my own. I've never seen anybody else do it. But I put a cross next to the verse that I think is maybe or probably the most impactful verse for me in the passage. I have actually two of them in this passage, but the first is verse number 9. So with the thought of verses 1 and 2 in the back of their minds, look down to verse number 9. because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation.
You know, I got thinking about this. Every one of us could go into the secret place with God, who is the Most High, He's the Almighty. Every one of us could go at the same time and feel like we're the only ones there. That's the beauty of God and having a relationship with God. And we could all be going there for different reasons, talking to Him about different things. And because, you know, there's no GPS address to where the secret place is. Because the secret place is a person. You know, we went to the men's retreat, and Brother Jenner and I were talking about, and asked Brother Jenner about his trip up here. He said, well, the GPS got me right here. Didn't lead me astray anywhere. So we got talking about some of our experiences. And I remember a couple of years ago, I was going over into the New Holland area, East Oil area, and it tells me to pull over, get out, and begin to walk. It literally did. I'm like, where? It doesn't tell me where this place is. Get out, and begin to walk. And anyway, I did not listen to the GPS. This isn't a location. And this is important for us to understand, because the children of Israel had the Holy of Holies. And an high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies once a year, first on behalf of himself, and then secondly on behalf of the people. And as I may have even mentioned in my opening prayer, I think there's probably some fear and trepidation about entering in. And this is the only time you could ever enter in. And I recognize as a Christian the blessing that I am in living in this day and age. I can enter in any time I want. And he says, come boldly into that throne of grace. And so for me to understand what this means to me today as a Christian, it's I can have access to God, and the access is not by a curtain. It's not within the veil. It's at any time I can go to the Lord in prayer and call on Him for help, no matter what the situation is. So for you and me as Christians, we are able to access this secret place, but He doesn't say, hey, why don't you access the secret place, drop off some requests and go on with your life. No, He that dwelleth. How many times in our Christian lives do we just kind of do what I just said? Just kind of go in, drop off some requests, and get back to life. When's the last time you just got a hold of God and didn't let go? You just stayed there. But you didn't feel safe anywhere else, but safe in the arms of Jesus, safe in that relationship and connection with God. And he says, he that dwells, he that comes here and stays. Again, sometimes we're just too busy. Sometimes we're just caught up in too many things. Sometimes too many other things are more important. He says, for you as a Christian, this is what I want you to choose to do. I want you to choose to be still and know that I am God. You see what happens, Christian, when the trials of life come, as described in this passage, and we'll get on to more of this passage. But as the trials of life come toward us, and whether it be in the form of a person or whether it be in the form of even our own body attacking us as some kind of a disease, sometimes what our temptations are several. Our temptations, one, is just to go around and do all kind of things to try to find a remedy, Google this, and look it up on the internet and try to do all kind of research. Or the temptation is to pray about it, but then go Google it and go on and do all these things. And I'm not an anti, well, I am kind of anti-Google, but I'm not anti-using the resources God has given to us. But I am against us as Christians just dropping things off with God and running and feeling like that's a relationship. And again, as Christians, we need to learn to stay there. We need to learn to abide. Maybe we're not seeing as much victory as this psalm talks about because we're not staying there long enough to get the victories. We're not staying there long enough to get the protection. We're not staying there long enough to see God work. We're just throwing up these flares, like a prayer flare gun. You just shoot it up to the Lord and let Him know you're in trouble and just keep going on and trying all kinds of things. As Christians, he says, you know what I want you to do? I want you to come in here and stay here. Do you ever have a friend or loved one who just had to go and you just wish they had to stay? I think every time we go, you know, God loves us so much. And it doesn't matter who we are. Again, the truth, there's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. God loves every one of us. And He isn't like, I love Him to stay longer and her to not stay quite as long. No, God wants us all to just stay. I think sometimes I probably get up from my knees and using that kind of more in a metaphoric way, but get up from my knees and God's, where are you going? We just started. We just started talking. You haven't even listened to me yet. So again, I think as Christians, we need to make an active choice to be in a relationship that just dwells, just abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Why go out from under the umbrella of protection? Why leave the fortress and go back into the world? Why leave the refuge? You can just stay there with God. He goes on in this psalm. In fact, he talks about these promises in such a way that you're going to tend to believe, wow, that means I don't ever have to, if I could do this, I won't ever have a problem again in my life. Now, let me attack that. Because sometimes we do things just for what we get out of it, not because of what it is to be. You know, the only reason we do it is to get something out of it. Wow, I'm going to try this abiding so that no trials ever come into my life. But we missed the mark. He doesn't want us to abide so that no trials come into our life. He's just telling us, hey, I've got some blessings for you if you do. There's some rewards. There's some things that I want to pour out in your life. And so look at this. We'll go back to verse number 2. I will say of the Lord, here's His personal testimony. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Now the snare of the fowler is someone who is trying to trap you. Someone who's trying to destroy you. It doesn't have to do with the fowls of the air. I get that because it's in the Word. Just has to do with anybody who's trying to trap you, anybody who's trying to ensnare you. Again, David would know what that's about. Moses, both of the protected, thoughtful, maybe authors, both of them would clearly know what it is to have an enemy that's trying to destroy you. And he says this in verse number 3, surely, truly, He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence, again, from the disease that wreaks havoc on your life. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. It encompasses you, wraps around you. Again, I think the part here, the truth, is speaking of His word, what He has to say. So here's a God that just doesn't sit in silence protecting you. Here's a God that speaks truth to your life to give you peace. He's often doing that through the references of His Word in the day and age in which we live. So God, through His Word, is going to speak to us and give us promises to hold on to cling to. One of them, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. So the weak and boldly say, he is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. And so what God's saying here, hey, come into this refuge and I'll give you protection and I'll also give you truth that will protect you, surround you with additional protection. Verse number 5, thou shalt not be afraid of terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day. And so what is he saying? When you're close to me, you're under the realm of my protection. Now the question is, can anyone there be hurt? Can anyone there suffer pain? Is this Bible passage promising us that nothing bad can ever happen as long as you're abiding, as long as you're dwelling there with God? My quick answer is going to be no. And we'll see that because we've always got to compare Scripture with Scripture. We've got to understand Scripture within its context, but we also got to understand Scripture within the whole. But let me jump down to verse number 9. We covered this earlier. Show you verse 10, and then I'll develop my thought. It says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Well, one of the things we've got to remember, we're in a poetic passage that is going to use, in one form of its poetry, hyperbole, which means to throw something beyond, go to the extreme, and pull it back in. One of the things that I think that the psalmist is using here by God's direction is an hyperbole where he's saying, hey, nothing bad will ever happen, and begins to pull that back in. And we definitely know that by other portions of Scripture, because that we know that there were men of God who went through very difficult times in their life. We know there was a man like Paul who would pray that it would be removed, and the Lord says, no, I've got grace, which is sufficient. So what is God saying? Well, to keep dwelling and stay under... Look at it this way. Let me stop and change gears a little bit. Humanity, all of us, guys and girls alike, our prone response to, if we get relief, we go back to doing what we were doing before. We kind of ask for trials. We do. Because every time we're not in a trial, we seem to drift away. And so the Lord says, well, I got to keep the pressure on to keep you here. And so what God does is he allows for us to go through difficult situations so that we draw nigh and stay close to him. But not only Paul, I could use a number of others, but think of Romans 8. Now, you might not know the passage, but Romans 8, 28 says, all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. In that same passage of Scripture, it says, if God be for us, what? Who can be against us? He that spared not his son. Well, if anyone should have been spared from all trials, it was Christ. But what God did is use the trials to help minister to others. So that he that spared not his son, but delivered him up from us all, how shall he not freely give us all things? So God is purposely going to allow us to go through difficult times. Again, the psalmist feels like, hey, as long as I'm close to the Lord, it feels like nothing bad can happen to me. The reality of it's happening, but because of the relationship he has with God, he is at total peace in the midst of this. So what we need to do is not choose to go stop by God and drop off our requests. What we need to do is choose to dwell with God and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, I found this interesting. Here's something he also chooses. Back when I got down to verses 14, 15, and 16, if you know me well, you know that I like to read the passage of Scripture. I print it out, read, and reread it over and over again, and just pray over the passage and try to dissect it and see where it's going. I'm not big into going to other books and seeing how do they outline it. I really don't care how they outline it. I want God to speak to my heart, not speak to their heart and them tell me something. I want God to speak to my heart so I can share with you what God shared with me. I got down to verses 14, 15, and 16. I was trying to figure out who's this talking about. I came to the conclusion, I think it's talking about God. I think God's saying this. But then when I did cross-examine, I want to make sure I'm not teaching anything that's not in God's Word. Hey, if you come to church, make sure everything I'm saying is true. Don't accept it just because I say it. I preach it with conviction because I believe it. But it's not like I can't be taught anything. And so we're all growing and trying to know God and know His Word better. And so if I say something, get out your Bible, make sure it's true, evaluate it, go back to it. But I found in verses 14 and 15 and 16, this is saying this. This is saying the Lord's saying, because He, the man that's dwelling, set His love upon me. Wow, that hit me. If I love Him, I'll want to stay with Him. And the reason sometimes I'm not staying there longer is because I'm not loving Him enough. And He says, because He hath set His love upon me, therefore, because that, I will deliver him. I will set him on. Have you ever heard that God's grace, we never deserve anything. If we deserve anything, it's punishment and hell. And I understand that. And God's grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. I found a number of passages at times God rewards us because of what we're doing. And this is one of them. God said, hey, if they're going to love me enough to dwell with me and abide under me for protection, they're going to trust me that much. There comes the trust. It's in the passage, but I'm just going to stay here. Again, as Christians, our temptation is to drop off a request and go and try to figure out other ways to get this accomplished and manipulate situations in order to get it done. Or go to research this to make sure I'm doing this the right way. And instead of just dwelling and trusting God to take care of us, I want you to understand this. We make up part of the body of Christ. Sometimes dwelling also includes talking to other believers, asking for prayer from other Christian friends. Why? Because we're part of the body of Christ. So we need to be there for each other. We need to be the support and the strength for one another. So, but he goes on to say this, I will deliver him, I will set him on high, meaning I'll set him off to protection, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in time of trouble. Aren't you glad when you go through trouble, he's there? In fact, he was there before you got there. I will deliver him and honor him. God's going to honor me. He says, I'll honor you if you're willing to just dwell with me. If you'll love me and trust me so much that you'll see me as your answer, I will honor you for that. So in this passage, not only are we to choose to dwell with God, do you know God? Let me reword it. Do you know God has chosen to dwell with you? In fact, Denise had me read from Revelation. And it's really like God's saying the reason I created heaven is so I can be with you the rest of yeah, I'm thinking God created it so I can be with him. Do you know God words it? I created it so I can be with you. Isn't it incredible the love that God has for us? That he wants to dwell with us. In fact, I think that's why he wants us to choose to dwell with him, because he wants us there. So whatever you're going through as a Christian, God says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to come to me. I want you to come into the secret place. There might be a million Christians there when you come, but you'll feel like you're the only one. And I want you to just stay there. And I'll watch over you. I'll lift you up. I'll honor you. I'll deliver you. I'll protect you. I'll be your God. And you can be my people. And whatever you're going through as a Christian, whether you feel like it's an enemy attacking or your body attacking you as in some type of a disease, whatever it is, don't just drop it off. Let's go dwell with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Christ. You've invited us, New Testament to Old, to come to the throne of grace, to get grace and mercy in time of need. And Father, I just want to extend that invitation to he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I'd like you to stand to your feet. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play the song that I've chosen. And maybe this is a good time for you. Maybe you need to come to the altar and pray. Maybe there's something you just need to dwell on before the Lord. Maybe you'll stay where you're seated or where you're standing now, but maybe you'll stay there. Just bow your head. I'm not asking you to think about lunch in the afternoon. Spend some time talking to the Lord. Some are coming to the altar. Maybe you want to join them. Others are pouring out their heart before the Lord. And let's just talk to the Lord in this moment. Let's dwell. Let's dwell in the secret place of the Almighty, the one who has all authority and the one who has all power. Hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages. Again, I preach to Christians, but if you're not a believer, if you come forward at this time, we will make sure you're a man. We'll have a man take the word of God and show you how you can know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady take the scriptures. And they will show you how you can have a personal relationship. Let's turn to hymn number 416. It's there in front of you, or under the seat if you're in one of the front rows.